Welcome back to Wellness and Dentistry. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Kyle Stanley. I'm a dentist, a tech entrepreneur, a speaker, and a researcher. And I'm here with your other host, Dr. Martin Mendelson. He is a disabled dentist, a coach, a speaker, and a thought leader. Together, Martin and I have helped thousands of dentists from around the world pursue wellness in dentistry. Martin, what are we talking about today?
Well, that's a great question, Kyle. What we're talking about today really started when I stumbled upon this Instagram reel that I shared with you. It was a woman of color going through the laundry list of things that society expects of women, wives, and mothers. And it just got me thinking about dental professionals. And so what we hope you get out of today is a different way of thinking about the largesse of everything that's in front of you to deal with every day. Give yourself a little grace and give you some ideas about how to pursue life potentially differently while not just putting so much pressure on you that you have to get 80 zillion things done each and every day. That's the idea.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And, you know, I think we hear this a lot. There's a lot of good things coming out of the internet, Instagram, TikTok, and a lot of people are venturing into this self-help or wellness arena, right? Of course, not just in dentistry, but everywhere.
Yeah.
And the good thing out of that is we get awareness. We know what's research-backed. We know what we can do. But then I think the negative becomes, oh my gosh, there's so much I have to do if I want to live longer, be happy, be healthy, have good communication, have good research, or have good relationships. And so it's like there's a little good and bad that comes out of this.
Yeah, 100%. I think as you were talking about that, because, you know, for people listening, Kyle and I have a plan of what we're going to talk about today, but we don't plan what we're going to say. And so as you were saying that, Kyle, my mind went to all the books behind me. And I actually made a conscious decision about a year ago. There's no way I'm going to read every book out there. I mean, I love books, I think you can tell, but I'm never going to be able to read all of them. So I made a decision to lean in to the library I have and really absorb what it is to gain the most out of my personal library. And so how can we lean into our own lives, given what it is that we have to deal with in front of us, so that we can just kind of navigate through better? And, you know, we talk about burnout all the time. We have an episode on burnout, so that we can feel a little bit better at the end of a given day, you know?
So you and I know and teach a lot of these daily habits, and you and I teach daily habits inside the dental practice and outside the dental practice. This reel that you were watching, she wasn't a dentist, but, you know, she was talking about, okay, I need to spend this amount of time with my kids, and I need to condition my hair at this point, and I need to do meditation, and I need to eat right without, you know, without hormone disruptors, and et cetera, et cetera. And it was so much.
It not only was it so much, but it was like, yep. It was that was why I sent it to you, like, instantaneously amongst the 20 other reels I sent to you that day. But it just blew my mind, you know?
Yeah. And what I've seen in the self-help realm is people doing things for longevity's sake. So longevity is kind of self-help, I think, goes together. A lot of people, they want to live long, they want to be happy. And so they start doing things like, okay, I need to take, you know, a 5-minute walk. I need to get out, and you know, I need to see the sun. And there's something good about that, right? I mean, there's
100%
this, but it becomes just one more thing in their schedule that they can be stressed out about if they don't do it. You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. And if you look at the science of habits, what you're basically talking about is habit stacking. And so I have a whole keynote and a whole workshop on habits. And so I'll give you a great example. It's like something I haven't even told you about yet, and I wanted to. I was looking at the research, the real kind, all about how important fiber is in your diet. And I did an analysis of my diet, and I'm good, but I'm not great. So I decided to incorporate the correct type of fiber for what I'm looking for into my diet. But I have it stacked. And so what I did was I bought the fiber. I put it next to the coffee maker. It's next to the you know, over-the-counter meds I take every day. And so it got stacked into my existing routine. So it's not an undue burden. And the cue is when I go to take my coffee and the over-counter meds that I have to take every day. So there are ways to do this that are not overwhelming, that could be part of our lives, not in addition to our lives, which is the way I choose to look at it.
Yeah. And something I just thought of while you were talking was, don't think you have to do everything.
Oh,
because
yeah.
then you get, it's Cal Newport that calls this pseudo productivity.
Yes.
Where just because you think you're busy, you think you're productive. And there's research on this to show that when you're burnt out, for example, you're doing 8 hours of work in 10 hours of work.
Yeah.
So you're kind of spinning your wheels and not really going anywhere.
Yeah.
Thinking that, oh my gosh, just because I'm busy, I'm very productive.
Yeah. Yeah. And could we talk about something else for a minute too, without necessarily going all into it? But, you know, there was that post the other week about burnout and judgment of, oh my gosh, if you don't practice 5 days a week, you don't have the right to claim that you're burned out or whatever. It's like, who the heck made that rule?
Yeah.
You know, now it feels like we've got opposite extremes here. We got people sitting there in comparison all the time that I'm not good enough. And then the flip is, you're not good enough because you don't live my life. Well, newsflash, we're all different. Yep. So,
well, I learned this from you, who learned this from someone else, which is everybody has their own Everest to climb.
Amen. Sean Swarner, my good buddy, is the only human in history to ever climb Mount Everest with one functioning lung. Unbelievable. But yeah, everybody has their own Everest to climb. And so how do we take the largesse? I like that word all of a sudden. How do we take the largesse of everything that we have to do and kind of wrangle that into something manageable, right? That's the idea.
Yeah, and I think when we bring this back to dentists working in private practices,
yeah,
there's a lot you have to do. You know, you have to write, your notes have to be legally defending yourself so that nothing happens. But, you know, there's certain things you don't want to write in your notes, right? That can, I don't know, get you in trouble. Or sometimes lawyers say, well, don't write that in the notes. Write that in the comm log.
Right.
You need to have time to exercise and
Absolutely.
To have burnout relief and not work so many hours so that you have compassion fatigue.
Yep.
You need to have time to eat right. You need to make money to support your practice loan or your student loans. I mean, it does become a lot of things to do. Where do you find the time?
So I think the answer is in looking at the totality of what it is you need to do. And what I mean by that is within the practice and within your life, because we're all one person. So we have to consider both. And so, you know, before we hit the record button, I told you I had a meeting with my coach today, and it was all about looking at my day and calendarizing, is that a word? My day, so that I can be strategic and disciplined to get what it is I want to get done based upon a 3-year plan that then goes down to a 1-year plan that then goes to a quarter, a week, or a month and a week. And so I think the answer is you got to start with where you want to go so that you can figure out how to get there. It's no different than planning a trip. If you want to go to London for a week, that's your goal where you want to go. Well, great. How are you going to get there? When are you going to get there? How are you going to afford to get there? Where are you going to stay when you do get there? We do this naturally in some ways. And then in other ways, we get like a deer in the headlights where we don't know where to go. So the first step is to figure out everything it is you want to do. Then we can take a step back and decide, okay, based upon all this stuff, is this too much? Right? You and I have talked before, I think that was another episode, about docs that don't necessarily have help, that don't necessarily have an office manager and things like that. Like, you can't do everything yourself. And at the same time, we have to recognize that other people aren't going to do things the way we do them. And that has to be okay, because you can't do it all. Right?
Yeah. So I'm writing some things down as you're talking. My first thought comes to Stephen Covey, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Yep. Number 2 habit, begin with the end in mind. I had this slide since I first started lecturing, because I started lecturing about smile design and guided surgery. And the whole idea, especially when you talk about smile design or guided surgery, is, okay, where do you want the teeth to finish?
Yeah.
Okay. If you want them to finish here, how do you get them here? Is that ortho? Is that perio? Is it orthognathic surgery? Is it, you know, PROS? And similarly with implants, it's like you don't place the implant and then say, where does the tooth need to go? You say, where does the tooth need to go in the correct aesthetic functional position? If the tooth needs to be here, then the implant needs to be here. Uh-oh, we don't have the bone. We don't just place it wherever. We grow the bone so that we can put the implant in the correct restorative position. And I think that many dentists are good at this in our profession, but we're bad at this in our life.
Exactly, exactly. And
so that was the first thing I thought of, okay? Yeah. And you can expand on this too, is beginning with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. Have a plan, work your way backwards.
Yes.
You've talked about this with production before. Mm-hmm. The second thing that came up to me is once you have the plan, you need to know that you can't do everything and prioritize what is important. So what's important now? What's important now may not be important next week or next year or next month, but what is important now? Knowing that you're not going to be able to do everything.
Yeah. Oh, and that you're not going to be able to do everything on any given day. So how do you prioritize within each given day? You know, we're sitting here recording this the tail end of April. And so, you know, I'm actually planning on launching a leadership curriculum by August 1st. That's my goal. Okay. And this actually hits the nail on the head relative to, okay, great. Once we have an inventory of where what we need to do based upon where we want to go, how do we prioritize that? There's something I'm going to be bringing into my curriculum called the Eisenhower Matrix. That's fantastic. It's basically based on importance and urgency. So the stuff that's urgent and important, you got to do today. Well, do you need to do it? Not necessarily. The stuff that's important and not urgent, well, that's stuff that needs to be scheduled. And that's actually the stuff that can make or break you. Like a good universal example is going to the gym. Is it important? Uh-huh. Is it urgent today? Nope. But it's going to bite you in the, you know what, if we don't go or do something over time. It doesn't have to be the gym. Are we going to delegate because it's, you know, something that is not urgent and not necessarily, well, sorry, not urgent, not important is stuff we need to eliminate, right? And if it's important, but not necessarily time bound, like how are we going to delegate that stuff, right? And the important thing I think with dentists too is we get stuck in the idea that we have to do everything. But the truth of the matter is that delegation is not only a person, it could be a system. So the example I've stumbled upon recently is how long ago was it that confirmation of appointments was done by a human being? Most practices don't do that anymore. They use a system, a software system to do that for you. So that's a form of delegation, but it's delegating to a system. So how do we end up navigating through our day, understanding the stuff we need to do versus the stuff we need to hand off versus the stuff that we're stressing ourselves out about that isn't urgent, isn't important? Why are we even dealing with it? Why do we care?
Yeah, I think the Eisenhower Matrix is so good. It brings back so many ideas that I like to teach, and I've, you know, been a fan of, like, just saying yes to too many things. And that is that quadrant of the matrix that is not important and not urgent.
Yep. Yep.
So you either say, I'm going to get to that, or you know what? It's not important, not urgent. Why am I even doing this, right? And part of that is that priority. So I think you begin at the end in mind, whether the end in mind is I want to own a practice, or I want to retire at 50, or I want to have more time with my family, or whatever it is. I want to make this amount of money, let's say. And then work, you set your priorities.
Yeah.
Once you set your priorities, there may be things you just say no to.
Oh, 100%.
I am so guilty of this. You know, a lot of people be like, gosh, Kyle, you know, I see you're writing research, and then you're speaking, and then you're doing this, and then you're doing that. And they say it as a good thing, but many times that's me going down the wormhole of being a yes man.
Yeah.
And some of my happiest times have been when I say no.
100%. Yeah, because it's really freeing, isn't it? Because you feel like you're in control, you're the captain of your own ship, so to speak. And you know, there are times where things are immovable. And I want to talk about that for a minute because most of our, you know, listeners are dental professionals of some sort or another. I haven't practiced in a while. Why? Because my hand gave out on me, just the deck that life had dealt me. And as I was talking to my strategist today, who works with a lot of speakers and consultants, there was a kind of an analogy that came up to dental practice, because how did dental practices, make their revenue, their for-profit entities, by treating patients? That has to happen during a certain number of hours, and you can't be working on your taxes or posting on social media while you're treating a patient. So he and I were working through the reality that there are days in my week that are completely off limits to my template, because those are the times that I'm going to speak and consult. So we're talking 2 to 3 days a week at least that's off limits. And so it's a very interesting analogy to dental practice relative to when you're at the chair, you can't be doing other stuff. So how do we navigate that other time effectively in, let's call it blocks, dental term, or medical term too, so that we can figure out how we're going to achieve what we've set out to achieve based on our goals?
Yeah, and I've done some of this to where I schedule going to the gym.
Go 100%.
So I schedule
Yes.
going to the gym. I put my son's, jiu-jitsu practice on there because I'm taking
Yep.
him there.
Hundred
The
percent.
team that I coach his baseball team, that's on there. So things can't get scheduled during that time. Now,
Correct.
however, because from the speaking world, I sometimes book a year in advance, there's times when, I'm
Yeah.
gonna miss this because it was
Yeah.
scheduled a year ago and I made the commitment. So sorry.
That's okay. Yeah.
But using that blocking analogy from our practice, I think is amazing. I learned this from Scott Luna. So Scott Luna was a dentist, and I hope I have his story right, but I think he got out of school within like 5 years. He had owned and sold 10 practices to Heartland. Made a good amount of money, and people started wondering, how did you do that? You're so young. And he created something called breakaway practice seminars that I took when I got out of school and was very successful with that. But he talked about scheduling like to the minute on your appointment. So it's not, I have an hour appointment and that's all doctor time. No, because 5 minutes is seeing the patient. Then they, take a radiograph, maybe do a digital scan or take an impression. They put on the topical. Now the doctor comes in, gives the injection. Now, is the doctor there the whole time? No, they can then go do an exam while the patient's getting numb.
100%.
Depending on your practice, whether you're high end, low volume, high volume, whatever it is. But even for practices whose assistants make their provisionals, the doctor's not there till the very end. The doctor can come in and say bye. Make sure, check the bite, but knowing at each time when you're available so that your team is saying, okay, well, we may have an emergency patient that comes in. Okay, I'm available probably in these 15 minutes of
100%.
this hour. The other time I'm with the patient, I'm prepping, I'm packing cord, I'm taking impression. You can't talk to me then.
You bring up a very interesting point, which is there's so much judgment, and I've dealt with this in my past too, around the value of the amount of time you have available. What do I mean by that? One is always greater than zero. And so if you're engaging in the kind of philosophy that you were just describing, you might have 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. Well, what's 10 minutes times five, Monday through Friday? Well, that's 50 minutes. It's almost an hour of time that you would have judged as not enough before. Whereas maybe now, 10 minutes at a clip, you're doing XYZ, whatever XYZ is for you. If you're a doc that likes social media, maybe that's the 10 minutes that you post something. If it's learning, maybe it's 10 minutes worth of learning. If it's reading, it's 10 minutes worth of reading. If it's
Yeah, you're
doing.
probably not going to get deep work done,
No,
but
no.
you're going to have something to do. And that could be doing nothing. That
A
could be
100%.
closing your eyes, going to
No,
the
it's true.
restroom, getting
It's
a
true.
drink of water. I mean, I know I'm not the only one, and you're not the only one when you were practicing, is we go days without ever taking a sip of water
Which is hugely
or
important.
having lunch. Or eating the entire day. And when you schedule that in, hey, maybe you grab a water, you look out the window for 5 minutes.
Yeah. And you know who I always look to? My really good friend, Dr. Jay Platt, who's in Indiana, about an hour or two south of Chicago. He is an extremely successful clinically and practice oral surgeon. One of the most productive I've seen as a single provider, now as an associate. He goes to the gym every day in the middle of the day for 90 minutes every single day.
You can't do that, Martin. That's impossible.
Jay does. And he'd be happy to share with you his practice numbers. He used to do it at Spear when he was part of the master's program faculty. The man is a powerhouse because he is very real with himself about what he can do and what he can't do. He is a master delegator. He knows what he's good at. He knows what he's not good at. And the reason why he's so successful in multiple areas of his life is because of his planning and forethought and being real with, embracing time, utilizing time to his advantage, and being honest with himself about what he should and shouldn't be doing. He's really quite a master at this, like you have ever seen, and it can be done. Here's another example of this, total non sequitur, Ryan Seacrest. Have you ever heard him interviewed? That dude has his shower scheduled.
Really, my
Yeah.
goal is to be one of my patients once called me the Ryan Seacrest of dentistry, and that is really my goal. I want to be the Ryan Seacrest of dentistry. I don't know if I want to be as busy as him,
Yeah.
but yeah, I
What does
love
that
Ryan.
mean to you, the Ryan Seacrest of dentistry? What does
I
that mean?
think it means he's like a curator of knowledge, he's a host,
Yeah.
he's yeah, I would probably say like a curator of knowledge
Yeah.
that brings people together
Yeah.
for the better.
Yeah. I think that's fantastic. That's fantastic. So, we kind of talked about, some like how. Let's get a little bit more into like the weeds, like to give people some guidance because we want to make sure this is valuable for them. I think for me, it's a multi-step process. It's, number one, where do we want to go within a year or three, whether that's production, things in your life? I can't define that for you. It's what is your life? How do you want your life to look in the next year if we're looking to take baby steps to plan? Okay.
Let's get some examples just so that people know. Like I can
Yeah.
think of, I'm practicing 5 days a week.
Yeah.
I want to get down to four.
Okay, great. So,
Or I'm making, my practice producing 600K. I'd like to get to 850.
It's basically when we start talking about it in those terms, the first thing is, okay, great. How much are we producing on average per day? How many days will we need to work to achieve current or future goal? If those numbers don't match, then how much do we need to increase per day? And therefore, based on the increase, how many days do we need to work? And please, for the love of all that's holy, take time off. Right. And so once we figure out how many days based upon the average production, then we can start programming our practice template from there, understanding what we need to do per day, starting with the, as it's been called, bigger rocks in your schedule that have to be filled first so that the rest of the day is filled in by pebbles, sand, and water. Using that analogy, it's pretty funny.
Yes. Let's
So,
give an example for an associate because both of those examples were more practice owner driven.
yeah. Well, I think it's the same, honestly. So if you're an associate, let's flip. Let's say you're an associate and you contractually obligated to work X number of days a week for Y number of weeks a year. Okay. Well, then the math becomes a very similar exercise with a different number of days. And if you're in a situation where you're like, I want to have the ability to take more time off, even though I'm an associate, well, the math can set you free because you can start doing the math. You can start determining, okay, based upon my average production, even a year out, if I were to increase that by X percent or work an additional day, work one less day, what does the math tell you? And so you can back into anything by using the math in terms of average production per day, days at the office, and then figure things out from there.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about this as an associate. I like how you said the math can set you free. because that could be coming to the owner doctor and saying, listen, last year I produced 500,000. Yeah. I worked this many days, you know, yep. I got 2 weeks off.
Yep.
I'm really hoping to get to 4 weeks off.
Yep.
This is how I think I can do this and either keep our production the same or grow our production.
Yep.
And some of that may be learning specialty procedures or cost per case going up, right? Doing more comprehensive dentistry, learning new techniques.
Or let's back up even further, going back to, if you'll all allow me to say it, the basics of treatment planning and communication so that our case acceptance
is huge. That's thank you for bringing that up because I think so many doctors think their first thought is kind of what I just did, right? Learn something new, bring in a new whatever, laser, or start doing implants or bring something in new. But if you don't know your case acceptance, then you don't know anything. It's like, you know, when you look at a sales funnel and you look at, okay, I have this website. And people are coming to my website. How many people actually sign up?
Yep.
If you're just looking at your end sales, you're not looking at the base of it, which is something may be wrong with that initial website, right? Mm-hmm. And this could be a dental practice website.
100%.
You have some amazing website. It's really beautiful. But the patients can't find the phone number, for example.
Yeah.
And you say, well, gosh, we're not really getting any calls.
Yep.
And you're thinking, well, that's because we need to start doing implants or we need to start, you know, showing more. We need to be better on social media. When the answer may just be something so basic, like, I mean, not to say that case acceptance is basic, but this is one of the things that I talk about all the time with wellness is how can we have people that take more time off and make more money? And usually the answer is case acceptance goes up.
Oh, yeah.
Team is happier because you look different. You act different. You're more confident when you've slept and when you're with your family yesterday and when you're rested and, you know, you come in, you act different.
Yeah.
And there's something very psychosocial about that, that just a human can detect.
Absolutely.
Like, whoa, this doc really has their act together. Like, yeah, they must really know what they're talking about.
I mean, you know, having lived in the halls of Spear for well over a decade and almost a decade and a half, it blows my mind. That's the biggest shift. Somebody comes in, they take facially generated treatment planning. They understand how to document with photography. They understand how to talk to patients. They understand that this is a human to human conversation. And all we're actually doing is providing information around what we see, what the benefits of doing something about it is, what the consequence of leaving it alone would be. And then have the patient literally, in essence, ask for what the next step is. It is sales, but sales in its pure form is one human helping another human based upon that other human's needs. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And one of my coaches says selling is serving.
Yes.
And think he always, his name's Colin Boyd. And he says, think of some time that someone sold to you. You bought it and you got incredible value out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was actually working with him.
Yes.
Okay? He sold me a coaching program.
Yeah.
I bought it. It changed my life completely. Yeah. You could be doing that with your dentistry. Selling is always perceived as being yucky and dirty, you know, especially in medicine. But if you're selling someone their confidence, their health, their function, you should be confident about doing that and know that you're serving this patient by giving them an offer. The other thing that you need to think about with selling is not to think of it as selling, but to make an offer. And the patient, it's up to them if they do it or not, right?
Yeah, totally.
And if you have that take it or leave it thought process behind it, like this is what I think would be best for you. You don't need to do it.
Yeah.
This is what I think would be best for you.
Yeah.
I have other patients that are waiting in line that will do this, but this is what's best for you. It's funny how that changes people's mindset.
Oh, 100%. I remember several of my private coaching clients where they still had trouble mindset-wise getting over the idea that they go in and they present a treatment plan and One of them in particular was an extremely successful general dentist and, you know, multi-million dollar practice. And the guy would still get all kind of caught up when the patient said no. And so we had this whole conversation around, look, people do the best they can with the skills they have at the time. You know, how is this patient saying no any reflection on you? This is just where they are in their own lives, comfortable to move forward. You said something that really made me think that I had never thought of before. So many people, dentists included, look at sales as something dirty. Why? Because of experiences they've had with salesmen who don't have their best, or saleswomen who don't have their best interests.
That's right.
Right? Here's an interesting analogy. Why, for some people, does dentistry have a bad rap? Because of bad experiences. How are we any different? At the end of the day, we're not. It's all about perception based upon the filter of your previous experience. That's called life. And so, yes, you may have had a bad experience as the dentist or the dental professional presenting care that didn't go very well, or the patient looked at you and said, well, you're just trying to fund your next vacation. So we always got to consider the source, and we need to be honest with ourselves and ask the question, what about what it is I said might have led that individual to come to that conclusion? If you can't come up with an answer, you can't come up with an answer. But if we do, then what are we going to do about it? How are we going to change the way we interact with that fellow human being to allow them to acquire the care that's going to get them out of pain, increase their function, make them look better, increase their self-esteem? What we do is magical and amazing. But yet at the end of the day, we can't force people to do anything. So how can we learn from that?
So much of the metrics that we look at when making some of these decisions, going back to our original topic of how we then have all these other things we have to do in our life, are there. We have so much data in dentistry. Yeah, and you know, this is why AI, I think, will really change it, because mm-hmm. we have all this data, but we're usually not doing anything with it.
Yeah.
We're usually not getting better because of the data. We're not being more predictable. We're not reducing our liability. We're not increasing our case acceptance. Mm-hmm. But it's there in your practice. If you looked at your case acceptance, you should know what the answer is, right? I mean, you and I have asked this to some of the people on like the Lightside Club or in our live courses that we do, and we'll say, what is your overhead, you know, per day?
They don't know.
I have no idea. What is your case acceptance? I have no idea. And if you just go back, if you get a 10% jump on your case acceptance,
that's huge.
That could make your entire practice.
100%. 100%. And I'll say something else because I can't help myself. I certainly hope any of the general dentists on here are engaging with your interdisciplinary partners. And I also hope that you very much engage with the idea that case acceptance starts in your office.
So true.
How the conversation starts, what to expect. Have you had a conversation with that specialist and their team about what it is they do, how it is they do it, what it is they say? How can we actually create a patient-centric referral so that patient feels not only very taken care of, but isn't getting confused by mixed messages? And so what they hear in the restorative office is close enough to what they're hearing in the specialist office so that they feel comfortable and confident to move forward. That alone will increase case acceptance. And look, when you refer someone, general dentist, to a specialist, this is not all about the specialist. This is about the patient, because, and your own production, because in the end, unless they say yes, nobody's doing anything. And last time I checked, when they go to the specialist office, 99% of the time, they come back to the restorative office for the definitive restorative phase. And so how is that not beneficial to you? So what is it that we are doing or not that's going to benefit this patient-centric referral, right? So
true.
And that goes to what we're talking about today too, which is all about how are we planning those interactions? What are we doing when? What's the protocol? All that kind of good stuff. Because, you know, only when we take a true inventory of what it is that's on our plate can we even begin to tackle what's on our plate. And, you know, if you look at the work of David Allen, Getting Things Done, which I absolutely love, that I also teach, there's this whole concept of project versus to-do list. Like, if you're looking to hire a new team member, what should never be on your to-do list is hire a new team member. What needs to be on your list is write job description, post ad in Indeed, post ad on Facebook, whatever it is, as the next actionable step, because you feel like you're getting something done, which you are, you're making progress, which you are, but you're not getting lost like a deer in the headlights in the largesse of everything that you need to do. So taking that inventory is not only the first step, but it's one of the most important ones to figure out how to actually tackle this stuff one step at a time.
And I think that's what makes it challenging, is because we need to look inside.
Correct.
And that's hard for a lot of people. I didn't really look inside until I had been through burnout. That was when I really started looking inside.
Yes. Yeah.
Is what am I good at? What am I bad at? Even more importantly, right? And it goes back to what you're talking about with the specialist. Mm-hmm. You should have a conversation with your specialist and say, hey, you know, let's say we're a surgical specialist. What percentage of cases are you doing bone grafts in when you take the tooth out? They may say zero. They may say 100. They say 75. I don't know. But you should know that so that you can communicate that, so that you can hey, I'm sending you to Dr. Smith. He or she is going to take the tooth out. There's a chance that he or she's going to place what's called a bone graft.
Yep.
I don't know how much it costs. I don't know exactly which materials, you can ask them, but it's very common for this to happen.
Yep.
Then the patient doesn't go there and say, oh my gosh, this surgeon is just trying to upsell me. No, you've prepared the patients. I mean, it goes back to the light side triad, which is boundaries, expectations, and communication. When you make those expectations, you set them correctly, all of a sudden case acceptance goes up.
100%.
Because they trust you. They don't know the specialist from the person on the street. So they trust you. They know your team. They know where your bathrooms are. They know where your parking is. You know, they may know your kids' names even.
Yeah.
And when you say, this is probably what's going to happen, I'm not 100%. And, you know, each case is different, but generally this is what it is. This is sometimes how long it takes, but, you know, ask Dr. Smith and she can tell you exactly how long it'll take.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just setting those expectations then brings case acceptance up. That means you make more money. That means you can take more time off. That means when you have more time off, you can do these other things that you've had on your list.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it can be very overwhelming just to make the list. And I think we need to get real with ourselves and have enough persistence to actually go through this initial process of thinking about all the stuff that we need to do. Because only when we identify that can we make a start, like I said previously. And the truth of the matter is that if you work on this, you know, let's say you decide within a month, I want to get a wrangle on this. And even if you work 15 minutes every day writing down these things that you think you need to tackle, you're going to be 15 more minutes farther ahead than you were the day before. I haven't talked about, I think it was actually 2020 is the year turn, January of 2020. I made this decision that I wanted to wrangle this literal pile of recipes, I love to cook, that I had for 25 years and I just had enough. I know I'm slow. So what did I do? I decided I was going to put them in 3-ring binders, categorized, alphabetized. And I just simply said to myself, you know what? I'm just going to do 10 a day until it's done. And ironically enough, some days I do 60, some days I do 10. But it all got done. And now I look at, I'm embarrassed to say this, three-inch, three-ring binders, over 600 recipes that I tackled in small chunks. You can do that with everything that's in your schedule to figure out, or in your life, your responsibilities, to figure out what needs to be done if you do it in small amounts. And a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. You just got to move and do it.
Let me ask you, did you schedule that?
I did, actually. I didn't
realize.
Did
you do it with another habit, or did you just schedule it?
Technically, yes, and I didn't realize I was doing it at the time. If I'm being honest with you, I decided I'm going to do it after dinner every night. So my cue was having dinner. The process was filing the recipes. The reward was doing it every night, and the craving, which is part of the habit loop, was getting the project done. It was like, I really wanted to get the project done. And, you know, what I said to my spouse was, okay, we're going to make a deal. I'm going to go through this. You know, I cook and he usually cleans when we have people over. So you have to refile them at the end of the dinner party as part of the cleanup process. And that's worked really, really well. And it has not, it's never really gotten out of order or out of skew or whatever. And now I have a real sense of pride in my three-inch three-ring binders with all the recipes in it.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of, a great example of what someone can do even with their career.
Mm-hmm.
Even with their practice, even with their clinical practice, even with their education, their health is, you know, a lot of what we've talked about today, there are a few steps that I wrote down. It's beginning with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. Who you want to be?
Yep.
Categorizing everything you have.
Yep.
Or want to do.
Yep.
Reprioritizing that.
Mm-hmm.
That brings in the Eisenhower matrix of,
yep.
I mean, when you prioritize it, you kind of figure out what is urgent, what is important, et cetera. Eliminating things that you just won't get to, which in my opinion is one of the hardest steps for me.
Yeah.
For me. I think the initial hard step for me was just looking internally and being honest with myself.
Sure.
And then from there, it's scheduling it. Ideally, if you can combine it with another habit, do that. And then you got to be regimented on following that schedule.
Absolutely. And, you know, part of that is giving yourself grace. If you've scheduled every morning at 7, you're going to do X, or every evening at 7, you're going to do Y, and you miss a day, please don't beat yourself up. While at the same time, there's a difference. One of my coaches, Karen Sullivan, said this. I love it. There's a difference between grace and an excuse. Grace is, you know what? I'm not feeling well today. I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to make sure I pick it up tomorrow. That's grace. An excuse is not doing it on that Wednesday and then not doing it again for 3 months. That's an excuse. So there's a difference. And I love those memes that, you know, it's like success isn't like this, it's like this. And it's so true. Like, you always want to bring your best, but your best on a given Wednesday may be 75% of your true best. And that's okay. You didn't sleep, your kids are sick, your family, something's going on. You know, you had to counsel a friend, whatever. But, you know, we all do the best we can with the skills we have at the time. And that can be daily. Right.
Yeah. I think this has been a great conversation.
Yeah. It's fun.
So any final thoughts on this idea of, okay, I feel like I need to do everything.
Yeah.
How do I do it?
Yeah.
And this can be in your practice, outside of your practice. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, we talk specifically to dental professionals. So we're always incorporating this back into most of you are clinical practitioners. What do you have for some final thoughts?
I think the final thoughts is, when you get frustrated, which you will, one is always greater than zero. What's that Heather Small song? What have you done today to make yourself feel proud? So if you can strategically think about where you want to go, make that inventory, however long that takes you to do it, and then start to just dive into it. I would even say, as a final thought, not only do we need to think about where we want to go and the inventory to back into it, let's give ourselves some grace and a realistic time frame of how long it's going to take us to get into this. And think about it. If you've been in practice 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, you've survived this long without it, like another month's not going to kill you. So it's about one's greater than zero, and keeping going at something is going to eventually get you there one step at a time. That's why I call my book that's coming out, Just Move.
Yeah, I love that. And my final thoughts would be, take that first step, which is set the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Know where you want to go. And you know this, and I've talked about this, I think, on the podcast, is every year, either the 30th or 31st of December, I write myself a letter.
I love that.
And I send it to myself a year later. So in that letter, I'm setting my goals for the year. These are personal, these are business, these are health, these are mental, everything I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the year, I get it sent back to me. And it's so cool. It's one of the favorite day, my favorite days of the year is reading how far I've come. And sometimes I hit goals, sometimes I don't. But to look back and say, wow, look at how much I've grown, personal, professional, health. And you know this, and I think you were the one that taught me this, is when we write things down that can be on the that can be on the computer, or can be physically writing things. I think physically writing things is a little bit better. You're more likely to achieve these. Correct me if I'm wrong, 60%?
It's like 40 some odd percent, but if there's
40%.
social accountability, it can go up to 95%.
Right. Yeah. So if you share some of these goals with people, and we've seen this with Lightside Academy, where people will say, hey, I really want to take a day off. You know, by the end of 2024, I want to be working 3.5 days. And then what happens is you check up on these people and say, hey, did you ever, you know, have you started towards taking that day off? And having that accountability is huge. This is one of the things why I believe coaches are so important.
Oh,
It's
100%.
like, why would I pay a coach so much money to just talk to me, right? Well, one thing is you are taking the shortcut in whatever specific aspect you have a coach. This is someone that's generally has already done this, or has helped a lot of other people do something you want to do. But for me, I know I have had two coaches, and my current coach right now, one of the things is like, oh crap, we have a meeting on Tuesday, so I need to get this thing done that I
Oh
said I was
yeah.
going to do.
Oh yeah, 100%. A lot of people love the whole letter writing idea. I know you use an app and I use something different. What's the app you use?
What is that called? It's just a website. I think it's called Future Me.
So you can do that. And the thing I do, which is kind of fun, I stumbled upon Outlook, if you use Outlook proper, has schedule send.
Yep.
You can
Yeah, I think
send
Gmail
yourself
has
an
it too.
email. And it's like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, you don't
So
have to do
either
anything
way,
special.
everyone always asks you. That's why I wanted to interject
Yes.
that, because that always comes up. They're like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
So that's how you do it. So
Well, I think this has been a great conversation.
yeah,
It's
totally.
gone in a few different ways, but I think in general, we have busy dental professionals listening to us and feeling that they need to get everything done. And I think we've given you guys actionable ways of setting your goals, prioritizing them, going step by step to achieving some of these goals.
Absolutely.
And so if you're interested in anything that Martin and I do, whether it's Martin coaching, his new book coming out, my AI company, my online academy, Lightside Academy, you can go to wellnessanddentistry.com. You'll also find our Instagram, our emails. I mean, anything you need from us, just go to wellnessanddentistry.com. And we thank you for listening to us again. We'll see you next time.
Take care, everyone.